It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. And thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Nicole, Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday, producer Joe.
Happy Friday, Kim.
I know I say this all the time. I can't believe that we are past the middle of May, and soon we'll be past the halfway into the year. But there's so much going on. Our goal is to help you understand these issues. We dissect them by looking at them through the lens of freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. It's not compassionate to take other people's stuff. It could be their rights, their property, freedom, livelihood, opportunities, or lives. And force can be a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, government-induced inflation, the World Economic Forum, globalist elites agenda, the United Nations, the Colorado State Legislature, the Colorado Governor, and I think we're going to add a new one on here, Joe, and that is public opinion. Because what we're starting to see is the despots are using public opinion to take other people's stuff. And we're going to be talking with Zach Riley with the Colorado Livestock Association here in the first hour. I've got some headlines to talk about that as well. But I think that we need to add in public opinion because it's not right for public opinion to take other people's rights either. So what do you think about that? I know I'm just kind of throwing that at you, Joe, but I think we need to add that one in as well.
I totally agree, and I have one more for you, the WHO.
Oh, yep. Yep, let's put that on there too. Boy, we're going to have the whole first segment is going to be the people that's trying to take away other people's rights. But I think you're right. We'll add that in as well, unfortunately, and continue to shed light on that. So good job on that, Joe. Check out the website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent essays. We'll be rolling one out that Brad Beck wrote, and he was our guest on Monday. So you'll get first look at that, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Thank you to all of you who support us, and we're an independent voice. It's important that you realize that we're not a corporate voice where we're being told what we can and cannot say. We really are an independent voice on an independent station. The text line is 720-605-0647. Would love to hear from you. And thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. And thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship of the show as well. And no one has done more than the National Shooting Sports Foundation to promote real firearm safety and the industry. And individuals can't join the National Shooting Sports Foundation at this time. It is industry only. But you can support the industry by going to the range, buying a new firearm, training, and supporting companies that support the Second Amendment. And our Second Amendment is really... people are trying to take that away. And that's what despots do. The first thing that they do is they disarm the people. And they're trying to do that through public opinion, through regulations, through legislation. California and Colorado are at the tip of the spear on this. And that is why it's so important that we shed light on this, because that is the first thing that they try to do is disarm the law-abiding citizens. And we see that happening big time here in Colorado with legislation and rules and regulations. Our word of the day, I chose the word fortitude, and it is F-O-R-T-I-T-U-D-E, and your challenge will be to use this in a sentence today. And the first definition could be the strength of mind that allows one to endure pain or adversity with courage. Number two, the power to resist attack, the strength, firmness. And number three, that strength of firmness of mind which enables a person to encounter danger with coolness and courage, or to bear pain or adversity without murmuring, depression, or despondency. It could be passive courage, resolute endurance, firmness in confronting or bearing up against danger or enduring trouble. And I chose that word of the day because you know him, Colonel Bill Rutledge. He's 95 years young. He'll be 96 in July. He has traveled the world. He has an interest in people and places. And he'll come up with different subjects. He'll say, I think that your listeners might learn something from this. And he is right. So tomorrow, Monday. Oh, let me get the dates. Now I'm getting myself mixed up. May 20 through 21 was his first nonstop flight. Charles Lindbergh had the first nonstop flight from New York City to Paris. And to celebrate that anniversary, we decided to do a little bit of information on him today, and then we're going to record an America's Veterans Stories show a little bit later today that will broadcast this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. And so Charles Lindbergh, he was born in 1902, died in 1974. He was an American aviator and military officer. And on May 20, 1927, he made the first nonstop flight from New York City to Paris, a distance of 3,600 miles, flying alone for 33.5 hours. And his aircraft was named the Spirit of St. Louis. And this is what Charles Lindbergh said. He said, success is not measured by what a man accomplishes, but by the opposition he has encountered and the courage with which he has maintained the struggle against overwhelming odds. And again, that's our quote by Charles Lindbergh. The five things that I chose for our This Day in History. 1683, pirates sack Veracruz, New Spain, taking 4,000 prisoners for ransom. I just kind of, what did that look like exactly? It probably didn't look very good. 1733, Great Britain passes the Molasses Act, putting high tariffs on rum and molasses imported to the colonies from a country other than British possessions. And so you can see, I mean, what that was, 43 years before the Declaration of Independence. I mean, it took a long time and a lot of actions before we declared our independence. But this was a step in that direction to start to get the colonists pretty frustrated. 1792, 24 merchants formed the New York Stock Exchange at 70 Wall Street. A weather event. And that is why a climate conversation documentary is so important, is the all the politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, those PBIs, are trying to use weather and then saying that that is climate change. Let's change that. Weather, they're trying to say that weather is man-made climate change. And then in so doing that, then they are trying to make all kinds of laws and rules and regulations to basically shut down our modern life and blame it on climate change, when what it's really about is liberty, the responsible exercise of freedom. They do not want everyday people to have liberty. They want to be in charge of everything. And so that's why this documentary is so important, is we need to engage in this battle in public opinion. And a climate conversation, you can find at aclimateconversation.com. And it is the vision and project of Walt Johnson. He and his wife, they took money out of their retirement account to fund this movie so that we could have just a honest conversation without rant and rhetoric, talking to experts. And you can watch that for free at aclimateconversation.com. And then we have started a whole new podcast series. And in fact, we will be recording one of those podcasts this afternoon. You can go to the website and you'll see you can click on the podcast icon there. And it will bring up all of the podcasts. The most recent one was with a climate scientist, Dr. David LaGates, and they're each about an hour in time. And you will learn a lot about this issue so that you can push back when you're chatting with people and they're all in on this whole climate change and all this intervention in our lives. So be sure and check that out. Let's see. So weather event, here we go, is in 1794. There was a hard frost in southern New England. And then our last this day in history that I chose in 1861, it was the first color photograph of a tartan ribbon. It's shown by Scottish scientist James Clerk Maxwell to the Royal Institution in London. Okay, next thing, let's get to some of these headlines. And the first one is Polis signs a bill to pump millions of dollars into public transit. And this is reported by, let's see, let me get the headline, by the Denver Post. It says, groundwork for possible car-free living along Colorado's Front Range got done Thursday as Governor Jared Polis signed four bills into law to boost public transportation. And you can see how they've used these different pieces of legislation on top of each other. Says the new laws let state leaders pump tens of millions into transit projects, foremost a multi-billion dollar rail system linking Denver, Boulder, Fort Collins, and eventually Colorado Springs and Pueblo. Polis rode a regional transportation district B-line train from Westminster to Union Station Thursday and signed the following measures. Senate Bill 224-229. Is a crackdown on air pollution from oil and gas production. It makes reducing nitrogen oxide pollution, which they lace this with all of their opinions on it. Again, so this is not news. This is still a bit of an opinion piece, which leads to worse ozone, a matter of law, and sets up state rulemaking. This will be bureaucrats to control emissions from vehicles and industry. Senate Bill 230 imposes new fees on oil and gas production, raising an estimated $130 million a year for spending on wildlife habitat and public transit, including rail projects. So this Senate Bill 229 and Senate Bill 230, those were those two bills that were the deal that were made between the radical activist extremists and the Democrats. The radical activist Democrats, and the shakedown of the oil and gas industry, and the deal was done with Occidental, Chevron, and Civitas. And so Polis was, I'm sure, more than excited to sign those into law. And I love the fact that he does this photo op to ride that train from Westminster down to Union Station. I wish that all of these PBIs would do that every day. It would slow down all of the things that they're doing because it takes so long to try to move around on a train. And so this is a direct assault upon our freedom of movement. Senate Bill 2432 starts a creation of a statewide transit pass for residents to ride public transit anywhere in the state. A 15-member team will explore options and make the pass available by 2028. The bill also boosts grants to allow free transit during summer when ozone air pollution surges over health limits and year-round for Colorado youth. I tell you what, if I was had kids, I'm not going to put them on a train. They're dirty and they're dangerous. And Senate Bill 184 imposes a $3 a day fee on rental cars to raise more than $50 million a year for public transit, including intercity passenger rail system. And people really like the convenience and the safety of their individual vehicles. And so here in Colorado, they'll be taking money out of our pockets, out of our economy, to push something that people don't really want. But what it comes down to ultimately is all about freedom of mobility. Hooters Restaurants has been a sponsor of the show for many years. A great place to get together to watch the playoffs. The Avs are still alive, which is great. They won their game last night. So, again, a great place to watch the games is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. The story of how I got to know them is more important than ever. And it is a story about freedom and free markets and capitalism, and how PBIs, they want to use their power to shut down people's pursuit of their happiness. And so be sure and check my website out for that whole story. The Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team is another great sponsor of the show. And they know that life can be challenging, and it's their team's mission to maximize your financial security as you manage the risks of everyday life. So call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855 for more information. Like a good neighbor, Roger Mangan's team is there.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
It's Friday!
Friday, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. I got back from Pueblo, Colorado yesterday. I had broadcast from Pueblo yesterday because I emceed two different events for the Center for American Values on their On Value series. And on Wednesday, the presenter was James Owen, and he's an inspirational speaker. He'd been on Wall Street for 35 years and decided to change what he was doing. And he is actually the author of the book Cowboy Ethics and also Cowboy Values. And so that's what he talked about. And then Kent Noble, who is with the University of Wyoming, and he and Jim Owen, and then Sparky Turner, who's the executive director at the Center for American Values, have worked together over the years on different projects. And so you can see that particular presentation by going to the website. It's AmericanValueCenter.org. And then yesterday, super fascinating, and I need to get Gabrielle Martin scheduled for America's Veteran Stories, but her father, Robert Martin, was a Tuskegee Airman. And a fascinating story. He flew 64 missions and was shot down on his 64th mission. And so just a really fascinating story. And then the author, Karen Patterson, of a book about Robert Martin also presented. And so all that is at the website at AmericanValueCenter.org. So be sure and check that out. I had mentioned that we're going to add into that long list of taking away people's rights, public opinion. And so we'll talk with Zach Riley with the Colorado Livestock Association here in the next hour. But this is something that, and when I first moved to Colorado, I lived in Longmont And Longmont and Lyons are very close to each other. And I've always known that there was this CEMEX plant, and it's a cement plant that's operated in Lyons since 1960. So I would drive by it all the time. And this April, the plant was issued a notice from Boulder County that the plant would need to close due to a report that stated the plant had increased its operations. CEMEX announced Friday that they would will appeal this closure order. But my friends, cement is something that is integral to building things. And so this is another subtle attack upon progress, upon us building things, being creative, building new businesses. And so here you've got the Boulder County commissioners in Boulder County that want to shut down an operation where people live their lives, and instead of thinking about how to create more, they want to shut it down. And then we'll talk with Zach Riley in the next segments about a ballot initiative that is going to be on the ballot in Denver this November to no longer let a livestock processing plant operate in Denver, shutting down their lives. And so we're seeing, and they want to use public opinion to do that. They use public opinion to introduce wolves, the wolf initiative that now is wreaking havoc with livestock producers over on the Western Slope. And so that's why we do this show, is to get into these issues, to really understand them, to understand that there's something bigger behind all that. And so, again, CEMEX is going to appeal that order. They talk about climate change. They normally have all these headlines, drought, weather, and typically they'll use Colorado snowpack to scare people into trying to control our water. And we can solve these problems these challenges that we have, if we use and open up the creativity and innovation of our minds, and also if we realize we must be good stewards of our earth, but first and foremost, we want to support human flourishing. The reason that people want to come to America is because there has been this opportunity to thrive and flourish, to create wealth, to do better. And that's really under attack. But one of the things they use, what they always use is control. And when they use the word conserve, they really want to control. So instead of conserve water, they want to control water. But it looks like it's going to be a good year from our snowpack. And this is reported by CBS Colorado. And it says it's not every year Colorado has such a stunning snowpack to tout. Summer of 2024 is shaping up to be a wet one thanks to the significant amount of frozen water stashed away in our mountains. It is well above a normal in the Colorado River Basin, said Nathan Elder, manager of the water supply at Denver Water. Then just a bit above normal, 121% in their South Platte River Basin interaction area. So this is really, really good news. But the other thing is we need to be doing some sensible water storage. But the enviros have stood against any kind of new water storage. And we really need to change public opinion on that. We can have human flourishing, thriving, and we can be good stewards of our earth. And we need to make sure that we're in all of the above when we talk about all of these different issues. Next thing, Polis signed this. There's new. There's all these new firearms bills that have made their way through the Colorado State Legislature, and California and Colorado. There's a lot of similarities on things that are going on. And this was from United Liberty by Tony Bonanni. It says a new gun control law, an 11% tax takes effect July 1st, and nobody seems to care. And he says it's a significant new law. It's set to take effect in California on July 1 of this year. This law, stemming from the 2023 bill AB 28, introduces an 11% tax related to gun control measures. As the implementation date approaches, there's been noticeable confusion and concern among residents. Despite the potential impact of this tax, no lawsuit has been filed against it, which is a situation that has many scratching their heads. And we, I think, are going to have here in Colorado, again, when I talk about public opinion, I think that there is going to be a question on the ballot that was referred by the legislature on an excise tax here in Colorado. And what these taxes do is it makes it more difficult for people to be able to afford firearms and ammunition that they could have to protect themselves against bad actors. And I think, for example, of that single mom in a dangerous neighborhood where she then it'll be more expensive for her to try to, again, have a firearm so that she can protect herself and her family against bad actors. And many people think that, well, we'll have government. Government will protect us against the bad actors. Well, sometimes government is the bad actor. But that's not the case in Colorado. When we talked earlier this week about the headline that Colorado is 47th in the nation for safety. So that means that we are number three in the nation for crime. And so we have public policy that is putting in place or not putting in place, it depends, laws to protect ourselves against bad actors. And we had the headline that Denver had cut their police and fire funds by $8 million to fund illegals coming into our state. So they're bringing in illegals, and there are people that are coming in that are bad actors, then trying to make it more difficult, more expensive for us to protect ourselves against bad actors. California is doing the same thing. And this is a direct assault upon our Second Amendment. And there is a reason that the Second Amendment is in our Bill of Rights. And that is because the founders knew that what despots do, one of the first things that they do is they disarm the law-abiding citizens, and then that opens up the opportunity for bad actors to come in and do bad things because they are the ones that have firearms. So again, California and Colorado, you can see such similarities. This is not by accident, and that is because the radical activist extremists have taken over the Democrat Party, and particularly here in Colorado, it's radical activists that are in control of the state legislature and the governor's office, and you can see the similarities with what is happening in California and Colorado. It's important that we have these discussions, and we will talk with Jim May with Lavaca Meat Company in the second hour, but Lavaca Meat Company is really that steakhouse experience at home.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
Boson Law fights for clients who've been injured or family members who have lost a loved one due to the careless, reckless, or wrongful conduct of others. Whether injured in a car accident, suffered an injury due to a product or bad pharmaceutical drug, or need help fighting for medical care and benefits following an accident at work, don't go it alone and uninformed. Boson Law is the law firm you need in your corner. Time is of the essence with any personal injury claim. Call 303-999-9999 to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 303-999-9999. Call now.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
It's finally Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Did want to say thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. And thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship of the show as well. Pleased to have on the line with me Zach Riley. He is the Chief Executive Officer for the Colorado Livestock Association. Zach Riley, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I wanted to talk with you. Zach Riley, first of all, I love meat. I love the nutrition that we get from meat, from livestock products. And we talk about it on a regular basis. This food source is really under regulatory legislative attack, but also public opinion attack as well. And it kind of tees up what is happening here in Denver. There's going to be a ballot question on the Denver ballot that would basically close down a business. I mean, it's unbelievable to me, Zach, that we are starting to put things on the ballot to say, hey, can we close down this business? But that business is Superior Farms, and they process a lamb. So what's going on with this?
Yeah, the proponents snuck this ballot initiative through last year in a very closed-door kind of situation with Denver City and County, and put forth a measure that would not only ban but prohibit any slaughterhouse from being open for business in the Denver City and County. Right now, there's only one that qualifies for that prohibition or ban that's open currently and then would prevent it from happening in the future. And Superior Farms is that only one. And it is a wholly owned, what we like to call an ESOP, but employee-owned company. And it's been here since 1964. And the problem is with it being a wholly owned company like that, you're talking about putting nearly 200 families out of work.
Wow.
And the sadder part is this is that type of thing that whitewashes the community and causes a problem and ripple effects that reach much further beyond what the simple thing of closing the doors on a business. It's kind of terrifying that this kind of broken ballot measure. It only took 8,000 signatures to get that ballot on, or that measure on the ballot for Denver.
Well, unfortunately, I can kind of see how this is going to possibly be played. In a way, it's kind of like the wolf issue as well, the introduction of wolves on the west of the Continental Divide. So the proponents, I can see this as really romanticizing like they did wolves. I could probably see romanticizing little lambs really pulling on people's heartstrings. And I just see that this is going to be a real public opinion battle. What do you think?
I think you're hitting the nail right on the squarely on the head. Basically, the proponents have argued that this is to better align with voter values as compared to status quo, that it would eliminate broader externalities, you know, in the public opinion of what is our food system, including odors and sights and sounds and all these things, and that this is some big, you know, concrete-sided terrifying facility and in the middle of a neighborhood, and they couldn't be further from the truth. But they have figured out how to use that symbolism and picture drawing thing to do, like you said, pull on the heartstrings and make everybody feel bad because they eat lamb. And it's crazy to me that the reality is we have to live in that world where a vocal few make the rules for everybody else and shame everybody else into voting in such a way.
Well, in Colorado, the other thing regarding elections, we've got all these mail-out ballots that are going everywhere. So there's challenges on that because people that I really think people should be informed voters. And what I see happen with all these mail-out ballots is that proponents of different things will use emotion. And people are not really totally informed on the issues. I do a voter's guide each, I started in 2016, to really look at these issues really from an American standpoint, our Constitution. I mean, this is so antithetical to the American idea that we would have public opinion being used to shut down businesses. And I mentioned in the earlier in the show that there's up in Boulder County, the commissioners are wanting to shut down a cement plant. I guess apparently they wanted to, or they said that they're increasing operation, but they want to shut it down. It's been there again for many, many, many years. And this is antithetical to what government is supposed to be doing, public opinion, to be shutting down other people's livelihoods, their pursuit of their happiness. It's upside down. And it's really important that we get out here and be talking about this, Zach Riley, so that people really start to think about it. Because why this matters is people may say, well, I don't eat lamb, or, you know, I'm not involved in the cement industry or whatever. But when you start to have public opinion being used to shut down one business, what happens if it's going to be your business next? And that's why we need to take a stand on this and really get it, you know, really be talking about this, Zach.
Oh, I agree. Everybody, you know, the simple argument is that, oh, it's one business, which, by the way, should be unconstitutionally looked into, because to use fiat or law to attack a singular business or a singular entity, last time I checked, was not legal. But either way, when you start talking about the tertiary and the subsequent effects of doing something like this, you're talking, yes, it may be 160 to 200 jobs on the locality, which is no small thing to scoff at, but you're talking a total loss in probably anywhere from 600 plus jobs that are all a part of the process between forestry, grains, trucking, transport, wholesale, grocery. But then you really get down into the granular side of this, and you're talking halal restaurants, food trucks, small taco spots, local economy of scale. You're talking anywhere from a $300+ million type of impact just on attacking one singular business. And doing this through this process, this crazy, very small threshold process, by abusing uneducated voters' opinion based on emotion and lack of fact, is it's just crazy that this is how we're going to rule and govern free market or markets at all in this country.
It really is. And this is, as I'm over here on this website, meatpoultry.com, this is a really an organized effort. I'm seeing different headlines come up here. It says Danish Crown to close slaughtering facility. Choctaw Nation, Three Rivers Meat. Well, I guess they hold a grand opening. But then OLML is closing a Quebec facility. So this isn't just a Denver thing. This is an organized movement to, I think, really limit humans' opportunity to choose to eat lamb or beef or pork. And these are all very high nutritious food sources. And so it seems like there's this concerted effort, not just in Colorado, but throughout the world. And that is why we need to be talking about this and shedding light on it, because I think it's really an attack upon our food choices.
I agree. Yeah, no, the proponents, who are an out-of-state special interest group, by the way, are keyed in on this tactical effort to really target these inner city, these large, densely inner city populated areas to field these things, but then have even gone as far as to get on the, I think it was 9 News, and say they're not stopping here. You know, they're going to ban furs and hides. Good luck getting a leather seated car or new pair of leather shoes as well, with a secondary initiative similar to this one that's also on the ballot that nobody's talking about. But then they're going to continue this and continue to move it outwardly. If they can win, if they can get this toehold in Denver, they're going to continue to push further outward. This is not, they're not stopping here. This is just first testing ground in a very concerted effort to get their way and force their opinion and idea on what people should or shouldn't eat.
It's unbelievable. I talk about it on a regular basis, about the people that feed and fuel our lives. And we have taken for granted reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy sources. But we've also taken for granted going to the grocery store and having abundant, affordable food and all these different choices. We've taken it for granted, and it is under attack, and people don't realize that yet. And that's why we've got to shed light on this and get out ahead of this as much as possible. It said that in this piece, it said that a consulting group hired by Superior Farms conducted a poll and said that it's pretty even right now on that issue. But I'm going to bet that there's going to be some real money that's going to come into this. And again, we're going to see this emotional heartstrings kind of tug advertising that's going to be coming down the pike as we get closer to election day, Zach.
Oh, 100% agree. It's going to continue to get worse. I mean, you can smartly go about how you make your money up here when you're an out-of-state group that's well-organized like this. But the large scale of this is they can spend as much as they need to try to push this through, but the real impact is going to be at the grocery store shelves. You know, folks saw an 18% increase in inflation on grocery store prices over the last 3 years on average. You start taking away food and healthy protein choice options at the grocery store counter, you're going to really put disadvantaged communities and others at a hardship, of extreme hardship, on what is an affordable source of good, healthy protein on the meat shelf. And even if it's not the meat shelf, you're going to disproportionately impact the even smaller protein sources that could be available, because now you're talking about shorting a supply on the other side,
right,
and increasing a demand on the other one. So grocery stores ought to be charged up, restaurants ought to be charged up, but most importantly, these smaller disadvantaged communities and, you know, other disadvantaged communities of different nationality and color should be very concerned about the affordability of food.
Yeah.
Your dollar is going to go a whole lot less further if you start changing. Well, we saw this with eggs.
Right.
You know, you change the way eggs could be bought because of people's emotional lack of education. And now what used to be a dollar-ish per dozen eggs is closer to $5.
Right.
I mean, that's a real tangible example of what's going to occur if you start messing with markets and how people are able to buy food in the supply chain.
Well, and that's why we really need to be shedding light on this. I'm talking with Zach Riley, and he is the chief executive officer at the Colorado Livestock Association. We're talking about this ballot initiative that will be on the ballot in Denver that will make it illegal, basically, to have a livestock processing plant in Denver and would shut down a business. This is antithetical to our whole American idea, and we're going to continue that conversation. We have these important discussions because of our sponsors, and one of those is Lauren Levy.
If you are 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms is fully stocked and ready for you to come shoot. Franktown Firearms is a family-friendly shooting range and gun store, constantly bringing in new inventory of ammunition, firearms, and accessories that you need. Come down to shop or just shoot on their spacious, well-ventilated 10-lane, 30-yard range with staff who will help you become as proficient a shooter as you can be. You'll have a blast with their multi-level training courses that also include tactical shooting while walking, moving, and shooting from behind cover. This isn't your average range, and it's not your average inventory. If Franktown doesn't have it, they'll help you track it down. And for a limited time, KLZ listeners enjoy an exclusive offer. Tell them you heard this spot on KLZ, and they'll give you a free gun rental, Class 3 weapons not included, when you rent a lane. And they'll give you your first membership month for free. So stop in and let them know KLZ sent you. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Indeed, it is Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. As you know, one of the nonprofits that I dearly love is the USMC Memorial Foundation. They are raising money to remodel the Marine Memorial, which is out at 6th and Colfax. It is the official Marine Memorial, and it's right here. It was dedicated in 1977. It's time for a facelift. They had their great, their first golf tournament yesterday, which was a big success. But we're coming in on Father's Day, and a great gift would be to buy a brick that would honor your loved one's your military service. And that will be on one of their pathways of service. And you can get more information by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. But you will receive a beautiful certificate for that. And so be sure and check that out and plan ahead. Father's Day is right around the corner. And I'm talking with Zach Riley, and he is the chief executive officer at the Colorado Livestock Association. And we've been talking about Superior Farms, which is a very important issue. And that is, there's going to be a ballot question for the voters in Denver this November on basically shutting down a business. I mean, that's basically what it is. And my friends, you may say, well, gosh, I don't eat lamb, or I you know, whatever you say. Why does it matter? Well, it matters when you start to have those PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties coming in and starting to try to shut down one business. One of these days, it might be your business. And that's why we need to come together and understand the real issues. And also, we had this come in, Zach Riley, from one of our listeners. He says that people don't know where our food comes from. And I think that, I don't know how he dumbed this whole thing down, but they just think they can go to the grocery store, have taken for granted these abundant and affordable food sources. And, you know, once that starts to go away, we've already seen high inflation. People are starting to pay attention, but we need to really be informing people on this, Zach Riley. So tell us what the Livestock Association is doing to help Superior Farms.
Yeah, so to your point about the people don't know where the food comes from, everybody's gotten so far away from the farms, you know. I will say one thing that has kind of tried to renew that mindset is this buy local initiative, this buy local ideology that's sprung up in the last few years, you know, that's something we're very supportive of. I mean, even as far down as looking at the data and realizing that, you know, local operated retail meat market types businesses are anywhere from 20 to 50% more likely to survive on a local level relative to their counterparts in non-metro, larger scale, or more rural type environments. But, you know, one of the things we've done to help support this, obviously, is try to generate public interest, try to talk to our membership. We've had many meetings and put out quite a bit of literature and continue to support the effort in every way we can. We've committed a pretty broad sum of money to trying to stop this effort. Just based on the idea that you mentioned earlier that, you know, ending a business because you don't like what it does or doesn't do is not the way that the world works.
And or it so shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. Yeah. Fairly, it should not be. But it's been that's how it's been framed to be. So, yeah, we have committed a financially and a lot of time to trying to help stop and thwart this kind of effort.
Well, and again, we need to be taking a stand on this. And when people think, well, why does it matter? It matters when we start to see this, you know, this happening. What about, okay, so you've committed, you know, financial resources as well, but it's going to get, I think there's going to be a lot of money that's going to come in from the people that have put this on the ballot. I know it's difficult to know exactly who's behind this, but do you have an idea and what the name of the organization is and who's really funding this on the other side? I know that's a difficult thing to understand because they're pretty sneaky on what they do.
Right. Yeah, no, they are. I would say I couldn't tell you exactly the name off the top of my head. I apologize. But they're not a small group. If I remember right, it's some California-based group that is aimed at ending all animal livestock production.
Ultimately, they want people to get to a point where our food option would be bugs. And if people want to eat bugs, they should. We used to say it's a free country. Well, I'm not sure I can say it's a free country. But if people want to eat bugs, certainly you should have that choice. But don't be taking away other people's choices on
right.
this. And there is a real attack on that. So we want to continue to shed light on this, Zach Riley, because this issue is just bigger than Superior Farm. Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention, I find it ironic almost, if you will, that here we have the National Western Stock Show in Denver, but yet Denver is the place that they want to actually shut down, beginning livestock processing, to shut all that down. I find that ironic. We've got a couple of minutes left. What would be your comments on that?
Yeah, I think that's a part of their broader plan of attack is to end anything that includes animal agriculture of any form and shape and size. This is a starting point, right? You know, I mean, you find a way to appeal to the emotion and the non-physicality and more the actual, you know, the spiritual sense of it, right? And you tell people that, oh, this is bad, this is evil, and you get into their head, and then you can continue to erode this all the way down to trying to end rodeo and show and that type of thing. I mean, these attack groups like this have been coming at shows and rodeos. I mean, showing up on state fairgrounds and turning animals loose out of pens and creating chaos. And, you know, they've been doing this kind of stuff for years, laying down in front of trucks and trailers that are hauling animals like it's some kind of terrible thing to do, to be hauling an animal in a trailer. And this is just a start. And I think the real concern and what people should really be concerned about is, yeah, I think Northwestern Stock Show is not far down the list of targets for these types of groups.
Yeah, I think so as well. And ultimately, it's about taking away food options for mankind. And one of our listeners said, I think that probably we've been eating meat since the caveman. I think they're probably right on that, Zach
yeah,
Riley.
I agree. I would strongly agree.
Zach Riley, we need to continue to have discussions on this, and it's so important. So I really appreciate you being our guest today, and we'll continue to stay on top of this. November is right around the corner, and so we need to be continuing to shed light on that. So Zach Riley with the Colorado Livestock Association, I greatly appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for having me on. Have a great day and a good weekend.
And right back at you. So my friends, I have a quote for the end of the show from Charles Lindbergh, because we'll be talking with Colonel Bill Rutledge about Charles Lindbergh here in the second hour. But this is what Lindbergh said. He said, I don't believe in taking foolish chances, but nothing can be accomplished if we don't take any chances at all. So my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. Stay tuned for hour number two.
Rain and lightning wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district? What on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team that I get to work with. That is producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Nicole, Zach, Echo, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is Friday, producer Joe.
Happy Friday, Kim.
Happy Friday to you. And just a lot going on. I've got a lot going on in my brain. A lot's coming in on the text line. And I want to get to those in the last segment of the show. That text line is 720-605-0647. Be sure and check out the website. That is kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. So kimmunson.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. That comes out on Sundays. We do not inundate your inbox. These come out on Sundays. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. We look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. It's not free stuff. But we're adding in, so it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, livelihood, opportunities, lives, or I guess I'll add in businesses there. How's that? And force could be a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, government-induced inflation, the World Economic Forum globalist elites, the United Nations, the Colorado State Legislature, the Colorado governor, public opinion, we're going to add that in, and as Joe mentioned in the first hour, the World Health Organization. But this public opinion thing, this is where we really need to be in the battle of ideas, and that's why we do the show. And again, if something's a good idea, you shouldn't need to use force to implement it. But here we've got this issue regarding Superior Farm, which is a livestock processing plant here in Denver. And public opinion, they're going to try to use public opinion to shut down and take away their business. This is unbelievable that this is happening in America. But that's why we need to engage in this battle of ideas. You need to have your brain around these issues. We need to be talking with people about it. And so that's where we are right now. Our word of the day, and I went to the word fortitude. And it is F-O-R-T-I-T-U-D-E. It's a noun. It could be strength of mind that allows one to endure pain or adversity with courage. Number two could be power to resist attack, strength, firmness. Number three, that strength or firmness of mind which enables a person to encounter danger with coolness and courage, or to bear pain or adversity without murmuring, depression, or despondency. It could be passive courage, resolute endurance, firmness in confronting or bearing up against danger or enduring trouble. And I chose fortitude, that again is F-O-R-T-I-T-U-D-E. It's your challenge to use that in a sentence today, because we're going to be talking with Colonel Bill Rutledge about Charles Lindbergh, who was born in 1902, died in 1974. He was an American aviator, and he did the first nonstop flight from New York City to Paris on May 20, May 21. It was over 33 and a half hours. He said this: success is not measured by what a man accomplishes, but by the opposition he has encountered and the courage with which he has maintained the struggle against overwhelming odds. And again, that is Charles Lindbergh. We've gone through a number of different headlines today, but let me get over here to the Polis. I think this is one that's important. And he signed these four different bills. The first two were, I call them the oil and gas shakedown bills, with Senate Bill 229 and Senate Bill 230. So Polis signed those into law. And then also Senate Bill 32, which creates a transit pass. This is all going to be, first of all, 229, 230 is making oil and gas more expensive. It's going to make it more expensive here in Colorado to heat your home, to cool your home, to drive your car. All of this is, again, trying to control our lives. And then Senate Bill 32, a transit pass, trying to get people out of their cars that we like with our freedom of mobility. And Senate Bill 184 imposes us $3 a day fee on rental cars to raise $50 million for public transit. And people are voting all the time. People don't really want to ride those dirty, dangerous trains, but they're doubling down because it is all about taking away our freedom of mobility, our freedom of what we want to eat. I mean, it's just all about that. And so that's why it is so important to have these discussions. And we get to do that because we have amazing sponsors. I know each and every one of my sponsors personally, and they strive for excellence. And one of those sponsors is Lavaca Meat Company. And one of their bylines is a steakhouse experience at home. And I can attest to you that that is true. And Jim May with Lavaca Meat Company is on the line. Jim May, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, Kim. Yeah, it's happy Friday and beautiful day, and ready to go.
Well, that sounds great. And Lavaca Meat Company really is that steakhouse experience at home. And the Lavaca Meat Company is located on the corner of Maine and Nevada in Old Littleton. And we're getting into grilling season. Father's Day is right around the corner. And so Lavaca Meat Company, I highly, highly recommend your product, because you really do strive for excellence.
Yeah, thank you, Kim. We do, and we're excited about barbecue time coming up here, and the weather's changing. The summer seems like it's coming in, and so the backyard, fire up your grill and come by Lavaca, the store there at the historic Coors Building, downtown Littleton, Nevada and Maine, or jump online and look at some of our new programs. But it's going good. Thank you.
And that website is Lavaca. That's L-A-V-A-C-A meat.com. And Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. But let's get over here. It's Friday, and I love your cowboy poetry. It's with all that's going on in our world, it gives us a little bit of levity. So what do you have for us today, Jim May?
Okay, I've had a few texts asking me to do one that I did a while back here called How to Buy a Bra. And basically, just a poem about a cowboy out in the middle of nowhere, about 2 hours from anywhere, and has to go to town. And I'll just, his wife needs a bra. So whenever you're ready, I'll kick her off.
Okay, let's go ahead. Take it from here.
You know, I ain't too much for shopping, nor for even going into town. And except at cattle shipping time, I'm not that easy to be found. But that day came and I had to go, so I left the kids with Ma. But before I left, she asked me, would you pick me up a bra? Without thinking, I said, sure. How tough could that job be? I bent down and kissed her and said, I'll be back by 3. Well, I got done the things I needed to, but I started to regret ever saying I would buy that thing. I was working up the sweat. Went down to that lady shop with my hat down below my eyes. I didn't want to take a chance on being recognized. I walked up to that sales clerk, and I did not hem nor haw. I told that lady right straight out, ma'am, I am here to buy a bra. Behind me, someone giggled. When I turned around to see that every woman in that store was laughing and pointing right at me. What kind would you be looking for? Well, that made me scratch my head. I'd only seen one kind before. I thought bras was bras, I said. Well, she gave me a disgusted look and said, mister, that's where you're wrong. Come back here and I'll show you. So like a dog, I tagged along. She led me down this alley where bras were on display. And I thought my jaw would hit the floor when I seen all that lingerie. They had bras of every kind, like I'd never seen before. I thought I'd go plumb crazy before I left that woman's store. They had bras that you could wear for 18 hours, and bras that cross your heart, and bras that lift and separate. And that was just a start. They had bras that made you feel like you weren't wearing one at all. And bras that you could train in when you start out when you're small. Well, I finally made my mind up, picked out a black lacy one. I told that gal to pack it up and figured I was done. But then she asked me for the size. But I did not hesitate. I looked her right between the eyes and said, she's a 6 7/8. 6 7/8, she says. Oh, that can't be right. I said, oh, yes, ma'am. I'm sure it is. I measured them last night. I thought she'd go into shock. Must have caught her by surprise when I told her that my wife's breast was the same as my hat size. It's what I used to measure with, and I do believe it's fair, but if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, ma'am, and that just drew another stare. By now, a crowd had gathered, and they was all just cracking up, so I gave the gal my hat so she could measure for the cup. And when she had it figured, I gave that gal her pay, tipped my hat, turned around, and bid them all a good day. My wife had heard the story long before I got home. She talked to 15 other women that called her on the phone. She was still laughing when I got there, but by then I didn't care. Now I don't shop, and she don't ask for no more women's underwear. Okay. That's by Bill Hershey. My wife said, tell me you didn't write it. No, that's by Bill Hershey, and it's one of my old little favorites. And starts you off on a good weekend on a Friday.
Oh, that is just awesome. So Jim May, Lavaca Meat Company, and that website is lavacameat.com. Thanks so much, and I appreciate it. I always need a laugh, and it's a great way to start the weekend. So, again, Jim May, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, let's do it. Thanks, Kim.
Have a great day. And I love my sponsors. Another great sponsor is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And Roger's been in business for 47 years. He strives for excellence, takes care of his clients, takes care of his family, gives back to the community. And they can create these personalized insurance plans for you because we're all different. And I sat down with them and we talked about all that I had, what I needed, and they carry my home and auto. And I really, really highly recommend them. So you can get more information and by giving them a call at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, that Roger Mangan Insurance Team is there.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this, I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of the Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
It's Friday.
It is Friday, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. Text line, and I do want to hear from you, 720-605-0647. Was in Pueblo Wednesday and Thursday of this week. I emceed events both on Wednesday and Thursday on their On Values presentations. The one on Wednesday was regarding inspiration, and it was by the gentleman that wrote the book Cowboy Ethics, Jim Owen, and then also Kent Noble from the University of Wyoming does classes on ethics. It was really fascinating, and that is at their website. And then yesterday, the presenters were Gabrielle Martin, whose father was a Tuskegee Airman, and Karen Patterson, who has written a book about Gabrielle's father, Robert Martin, and fascinating as well. So go over to the Center for American Values, and you can actually watch those presentations. And again, they're just doing such great work there. And the website is AmericanValueCenter.org. And also support them because they're just doing, I think, such important work for our country. On the line with me is Colonel Bill Rutledge. He is retired United States Air Force Colonel, and he's traveled the world. He has this deep interest in people and places and books, and he shares that with us. He said, Kim, I think we should do something on Charles Lindbergh because it will be the anniversary of his flight, his nonstop flight from New York to Paris. And he's a fascinating guy. And so I said, that's a great idea. So we're going to basically do part one on the Kim Munson Show. And then we're going to record more that will be broadcast this Sunday on America's Veterans Stories, 3 to 4 p.m., all this on all the KLC 560 platforms. Colonel Rutledge, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Kim.
Great to have you. And Charles Lindbergh, I mean, I think almost everybody's heard of Charles Lindbergh, but we're not teaching history the way we used to. And so I think it's important that we revisit the man, the amazing feat that he had. So you wanted to start, though, with his early life here on the show this morning or today. Well, so where do you want to start?
Well, first of all, I think we need to mention that we have three generations of Americans who may have heard of his name but don't know anything about Charles Lindbergh. Charles Lindbergh was a pioneer in his field. And 97 years ago, this coming Monday, he took off from New York by himself, a solo flight, and flew all the way to Paris. And that was a world-class breakthrough in technology and aviation and so many other opportunities that he was going to introduce, just like many of our inventors years ago. Charles Lindbergh, for approximately 7 to 8 years, from 1927 when he flew to Paris until after the trial and execution of the person who had kidnapped his child, he was the most famous and most well-known one individual in the whole world, and especially in the media. He was the subject of newspapers, and radio was just coming in all around the world. And yet, like I say, three generations know hardly anything about him, but he was a true pioneer in his field, just like we have so many people that break through technology today in other areas, like the Silicon Valley transition that started back in the 1960s and 70s, and other things in technology. His big contribution in technology was to encourage people to fly airplanes, and he was a master at it. And he has so much in his lifetime that span, although he only lived 72 years, but he touched so many people and had such a positive effect on millions of people all around the world. And
my first question, and before we get into all this,
yes,
is how did he have enough fuel to make that flight? I mean, I'm trying to think of, first of all, 33 and a half hours. I mean, that's a long time to stay awake. And how did he have enough fuel to make that flight at that time?
Well, what Charles did, he realized that there were no other planes that were designed and being constructed at that time that were designed for one individual and that had enough range to go so far. So what he did, he contacted the various aircraft manufacturers and proposed his plan and his design of an airplane where he would be the only person aboard the airplane. Now, one of the reasons he wanted to do that was because he was saving the weight of the navigator, the second or the assistant pilot, because almost everyone who had been trying to fly this record across the ocean had two people in the cockpit. So he realized, I can save hundreds of pounds, which I can devote towards fuel. And he designed other things. His flight suit was, he weighed everything, and where he could make something lighter and smaller, he did. He realized he's flying over a very dangerous trail, so he didn't put a parachute in. The parachute would have weighed, and he could have more gasoline in the aircraft. So the whole idea was that his design was to enhance the fuel capabilities of his aircraft and let him fly that long. But most of the manufacturers didn't want to touch it because they felt they'd never heard of Charles Lindbergh. And they didn't want bad copy by saying, okay, this is a Boeing, it just went down in the Atlantic, or this was something made by another manufacturer. So he looked and looked, and he finally found one small manufacturing company in San Diego, Ryan. And Ryan agreed that they would build an airplane to his specifications. They would do it within 2 months, and they would do it for $6,000 from scratch.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
You couldn't even buy a used car for that.
Yeah. For six. Okay. And so he then calculated this. So he had all the fuel on the plane when he took off that he was going to have available, right?
That's correct. There were no stopping. He was competing for an international prize of what was considered a huge amount then of $25,000. And the first person who would fly, and it wasn't even just one person, it could be two, would fly from New York all the way to Paris. There was a big New York hotel owner who had set up the prize. So this was his target to do that. And he worked very hard at it. So like I say, no parachute, no this, no that, no navigator. Every place in there was for fuel. And so he had extra tanks built into the fuselage itself so that he had calculated it to perfection. As a matter of fact, he had actually planned to have to be airborne 2 additional hours over what he actually did. He picked up 2 hours on his flight. Now, it could have been he had a tailwind going since he was going west to east, but that was something that could not be calculated upon at the time. But he would be considered to be a pioneer in aviation engineering, anything. I mean, he was creative. And he was a very quiet person, but he was a scientific person.
Boy, that's absolutely fascinating. And we're going to go to break here in just a minute, Colonel Rutledge. But I'm just trying to think what, and I'm sure the newspapers, I mean, everybody had to be so excited. So he takes off, and they don't know. You know, I imagine they don't know until he shows up, when that airplane shows up coming into Paris. I mean, there was all the suspense for the 33 hours, yes?
Well, yes. The progress was very limited. He did not have a radio on board. This was prior to the time that you had such mobility in communications. It was line of sight for him. So he takes off from New York. They actually took some films because it was such competition. But there are films that show him getting in his airplane and taking off and barely clearing the end of the runway and trees and things, which are obstructions there. And he's leaving New York and he flies over New England. So the people in Boston and out along the coast there may or may not have seen him, depending upon their schedule. It was on a Friday morning, and the 20th of May, 1927. And so the next line he goes, because he's doing a great circle route to get to there, but then he goes over Halifax. He flew over Halifax, Nova Scotia, because it was way projected out into the ocean. And then his last contact that anyone saw him was at St. John's, Newfoundland. And Newfoundland projects out further east, and they waved at him, some of the people on the ground, because he was flying at fairly low altitude. And so they waved, and all they knew was that he was heading east, and nobody was going to see him or hear from him until he got to his destination, if he ever got to his destination. Most people never thought he would. They thought they'd never hear from him or see him again.
Oh, my gosh. This is just so fascinating, Colonel Rutledge. And so we're going to continue this. So the next segment, we'll talk about his early life. But then we are going to record something for America's Veteran Stories that will be on this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. on all KLZ 560 platforms that will continue through this his life. I mean, it's super fascinating. And we have these important discussions because we have these great sponsors that really, support what we do. And one of those great sponsors, she's been with me since day one of the Kim Munson Show and even before, and that is Karen Levine, RE/MAX Realtor.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
If you are 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Munson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
It's finally Friday. It is Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. The text line is 720-605-0647. And thank you for these texts that are coming in. We'll try to get to as many as we can in the last segment. We're going to continue the conversation here with Colonel Bill Rutledge. But yesterday we did a show and had a couple of entrepreneurs on. And entrepreneurs, I mean, it is the American creative spirit. We're talking about Charles Lindbergh, an entrepreneur. But a great set of entrepreneurs is Glenn and Mary Jansen with Jansen Photography. As entrepreneurs, they've taken their talent. Glenn does just amazing work with the camera. And they've taken that and they create memories for people. And it could be memories, a portrait of your family or your children. Children grow up way too quickly, and so don't procrastinate. Or that your senior student, or just that headshot that you will need for your business or political career so that you can really open those doors. And they've taken their creative spirit, their talent, and created Jansen Photography, and they're running specials right now, Mother's Day special through Father's Day. And so for more information, all their contact information, go to jansenphotography.com. On the line with me is Colonel Bill Rutledge. He is retired United States Air Force Colonel. He is 95 years young. And he's traveled the world, and his interest in people and places is remarkable. And he reads extensively, and he shares that with us. And we're talking about Charles Lindbergh. And Charles Lindbergh, on May 20th and May 21st, 1927, did the first solo flight from New York to Paris. So, Colonel Rutledge, let's begin his early life. Tell us about Charles Lindbergh.
Well, Charles was born the same year as my father, 1902, in Detroit, Michigan. His mother and father had been married for only a short time, and she elected to have him born in Detroit, although their home at that time was in Minnesota. But she did go there because her father was a very well-known dentist and had many contacts in the medical field, but she felt very comfortable there as a young girl. And Charles was to be an only child. So he was born in Detroit. When he was an infant, then he was taken back to Minnesota. So he grew up in Minnesota, a small town along the Mississippi River called Little Falls, Minnesota. His father was an attorney. He had good business. And in about 1908, he was asked to run for Congress. And so Charles was six when his father was elected to be a member of the House of Representatives. And he actually represented his district for approximately 10 years. And so consequently, he was in Washington most of the year. At that period, it wasn't where they had such sustained presence of members of the House or the Senate. There were long recesses. But nevertheless, Charles and his mother would go to Washington for that part of the year. And so he grew up in an environment of mostly Washington, D.C., when he was in elementary school. So he was around government, and he was also exposed to some of the very earliest flights. There's a place called Fort Myer, which is immediately behind Arlington Cemetery, and it was an area that was primarily a parade ground and beautiful homes all around the parade ground for the general officers of the Army and also the fleet admirals. And it still is. I visited there back in 1945 when I was in high school. And so they brought the airplanes, the Wright brothers. Now, they'd only flown in 1903 down in North Carolina. And they were trying to create an interest on the part of the Army in acquiring one of their planes. So they did demonstrations. So they came out and actually did a demonstration there, a very interesting one in 1909. So now Charles was seven, and his father took him out to see it. And he watched the airplane, but there was no written indication or nothing later to indicate that going out and seeing this airplane created a great curiosity on his part. It was something that happened. That's it. So he grew up in a small town. He went to school there. He was a loner. He was not a good student. He did not like to go to school. And one of the things was interesting, because of World War I, Charles was slightly too young to be called into the military. And he was a high school senior. And what he did, he decided to grow a victory garden. We did the same thing during World War II. And the principal of his high school told him, he told all of the students, if you build a good and productive victory garden, you will be excused from the last semester of high school. You'll get your diploma, but you won't have to go to high school. He had a great garden because he hated the idea of having to go back to school. So he got out, and his grades were not too great, but his mother was very ambitious for him. So she persuaded him to enroll at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He did. He went there, and like most eight people, he was 18 years old. When he decided to go there, his mother was like he was tied to her apron string, an old expression, because they were so close. And so she moved to Madison and rented a very nice apartment, And she then looked after his needs the whole year that he was at the University of Wisconsin. It was a little unusual situation, but it was very comfortable for him and for her. But as the year progressed, he decided he didn't know what he wanted to do, but he had gotten an interest in airplanes. He'd seen some demonstration flights and things of this nature, because this was now right after the end of World War I, and there were surplus airplanes around, and the Army Air Corps was selling those airplanes, and then private individuals were buying them and flying around to various events around the country. And so he saw this, and he thought, this is an adventure, something I would like to do. I think I would like to be a pilot. This was sort of right off the top of his head. So he told his mom, and she agreed that he didn't seem to be very interested in continuing at the university. So he did research to try to find out where he could learn to become a pilot. And he saw an advertisement from he thought it was a school. He thought it was a pilot training school. The advertisement would lead you to believe that. What happened was somebody advertised because they wanted to sell the property because they weren't making any money anyhow with their two airplanes. But it was in Omaha, Nebraska. So he went to Omaha and said he would like to enroll. Well, it came as a shock because there were no teachers, there was no facilities, there was only two airplanes, and they weren't in marvelous condition. But he came with $500, which was a lot of money. So they decided to continue this sort of the facade, and they had one person who knew how to fly. So he was an older gentleman. And so he decided that he would take Charles up for rides in the airplane, which he did. So he would talk to him and tell him what he was doing. It was an open cockpit plane. The pilot sat in the front, and the pilot sat in the back, and then the other person who was a student would be in the front. So he flew for several days, many times. So he finally had 8 hours in the air. Now, in that era, and this continued on for generations, once a person had been airborne, presumably learning for 8 hours, then they'd be qualified to try to fly solo and get a license. However, the people who owned the airplane were too fearful of Charles, and they thought, we can't gamble on our one good airplane with that guy. So he never got to solo. He just flew around in the airplane with them. So he ended their program, and he decided, I still like this. I like being up here. So he noticed that there was another advertisement where somebody was looking for a wing walker. Now, for others who don't know, that was dangerous, very dangerous. But what they were barnstorming pilots who would fly to county fairs and other events. But to attract the customers, they'd fly over the town, and sometimes they would have someone who would get out of the cockpit and go out and be on the wing of the airplane. Now, there were some places that you couldn't see where you could put your feet in there. But any way you cut it was really dangerous.
You think?
Dangerous.
Oh, my gosh.
So he did this for a few months, and then he saw an advertisement that the Army was looking for people to go to their pilot training program in Texas. And he applied, and he was selected, and he went to Texas. To the San Antonio area. There were a couple of bases down there, a couple of small flying training programs. So he went and when he got there, he found there were about approximately 300 applicants that had shown up, and they had a primary training program to get them to where they actually could fly solo. So he did, went through this program. He almost flunked out, not because of the physical aspects, but because he was not studying like he was supposed to. So he made a very poor grade on his first test, and he was warned, you don't do better, you're going home. So he buckled down and became a good student. And because of that, then he finished with a program where there were 300 and some to start with. When they got through that initial part, they were going to an advanced training on the other side of San Antonio, to sit the other base. And so he did, he made the cut. And he went over there, and he sort of became a natural. He did so well that he finished number one in the class of all the students. So you can see when you're starting with over 300 people, and within a year, you're number one. You have made a great achievement. And he was therefore commissioned a second lieutenant in the reserve of the Army. It was before there was even an Army Air Corps, but it was an Army branch. And the second lieutenant was in the reserve, so he would be subject to call in the case of a national emergency.
Okay.
But the people then graduated. They're through with the Army for a while.
Okay. Colonel Rutledge, let's go to break. I want to finish this up, and we might have time also, then I can start to answer some of these text messages as well.
Sure.
This is just so interesting. It's so important that we know our history and know about, you know, what these people went through to do something really, really great. And we have these all of these discussions because of our sponsors, and one of those is John Boson with Boson Law.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999. 9999.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields, so they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Franktown Firearms is fully stocked and ready for you to come shoot. Franktown Firearms is a family-friendly shooting range and gun store, constantly bringing in new inventory of ammunition, firearms, and accessories that you need. Come down to shop or just shoot on their spacious, well-ventilated 10-lane, 30-yard range with staff who will help you become as proficient a shooter as you can be. You'll have a blast with their multi-level training courses that also include tactical shooting while walking, moving, and shooting from behind cover. This isn't your average range, and it's not your average inventory. If Franktown doesn't have it, they'll help you track it down. And for a limited time, KLZ listeners enjoy an exclusive offer. Tell them you heard this spot on KLZ, and they'll give you a free gun rental, Class 3 weapons not included, when you rent a lane. And they'll give you your first membership month for free. So stop in and let them know KLZ sent you. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. It's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And do take a look at the USMC Memorial Foundation.org, their website, and consider buying a brick to honor your father, your husband, for a Father's Day, a brick that would be on their Pathways of Service and Honoring Their Military Service. More information, go to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. Colonel Bill Rutledge is on the line. We're talking about Charles Lindbergh, and we're to the point where he has graduated number one in his class, and he received a commission as a second lieutenant in the Air Service Reserve Corps. So then what happens?
Well, after that, he still wanted to continue in aviation. That was his area of interest now. So he went to St. Louis, and he started flying there with some of the other people in, that would go around and do the barnstorming flights. So, but this was not very productive financially. So he saw that there was an advertisement that there was to be a contract let for a commercial pilot who would be flying the airmail. It had not been done before, but they wanted to establish an airmail route between St. Louis and Chicago. And this was 235 miles. So he decided to do his homework good. So he got out and drove it, and then he also flew the various routes, and he would stop to find out where his turning points needed to be for the most efficient pattern to make his flight. So he felt very secure, and he made his application, and he got the contract. So he started flying for them and flying the U.S. mail. And he did this. This was in 1925, and now he was 23 years old, and he did this for the better part of a year. And then he became more interested in things beyond what he was doing, because he would tend to get a little bored, even though it was very dangerous. And something that's very relevant for some people who may be older, you may recall seeing as you'd go along a road when you were driving, and if it was near a railroad track, sometimes there would be markers. In this case, they would take, especially a big barn, they would paint on top of the barn the name of the next city and put a big arrow up there pointing it. And that's how some of the early pilots knew how to get from A to B. Oh. I remember seeing things like that back in the mid-30s when I lived in Florida. And we'd be going up to South Georgia, and there's a big red barn, and it had a sign on right on top. All it said was the name Jacksonville, and it had a straight arrow. And also, many of the original flyers, they would follow railroad tracks to go from point A to point B, because we had the biggest rail system in the world, and the rail system was a lot better than roads. The roads were not good at all. And then 1920s, there were very few of them that were paved outside of the metropolitan areas. So he went through this whole combination of doing his research, getting his contract, doing his flying, and then he started noticing that there was competition. And he saw this advertisement, $25,000 for anybody who can fly from New York to Paris. And many people were seeking the opportunity to do it. Some were ahead of him. Almost everybody was ahead of him when he started, because he didn't start until very early in 1927 with Ryan to start working on his airplane. But that was his aspiration. I want to do that. I want to be the one who crosses the ocean and gets the $25,000. That was his target.
Well, and on the notes you sent over, you said that they sprayed the plain gray, and he painted the spirit of St. Louis on the fuselage as a tribute to his financial backers back in St. Louis. And he was very well prepared. We're just about out of time, Colonel Rutledge, but this did come in on the text line. Was Charles Lindbergh a member of the Communist Party?
No.
And that's probably... Okay.
No. Charles Lindbergh was very, very much a very strong individual, and he was never associated with the Communist Party. He was associated with the Nazis because they admired him so much, his flying skills, that he was invited to Germany on several occasions to test out the new aircraft and to meet the pilots of the new developing Luftwaffe, which was their fighter wing of the army. So anybody making comments about affiliation with any political parties, I'm afraid somebody's given them the wrong advice. He really was not an active politician, but he was an active advocate for America to not get in what he called a European war in 1940. And that's the first time that we started hearing this thing, America First, which has been used in politics since, certainly contemporary in the last 8 years. But when I was a child, they would talk about there's going to be an American First rally in Chicago at Soldiers Field, or it's going to be at Madison Square Garden in New York. And he would go to these various venues and talk about why it was wise for us not to become involved. But that's jumping way ahead, because he did that in 40, and there's now a lot of time between 1927, his flight, and 1940.
Okay. Well, Colonel Rutledge, thank you so much. And we will delve more into Charles Lindbergh. We're going to record that later this morning for broadcast this Sunday on America's Veteran Stories, 3 to 4 p.m. So stay tuned on that. And Colonel Rutledge, I will talk to you here shortly.
Yes. Thank you.
And again, that's Colonel Bill Rutledge, 95 years young, retired United States Air Force colonel. So, again, be sure and check that out this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. And so I did go to Charles Lindbergh for our quotes, and he said this: "I don't believe in taking foolish chances, but nothing can be accomplished if we don't take any chances at all." So, my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.